The armor of God. The Apostle Paul, one of the great pioneers and leaders of the early church, likened the life of a Christian to that of a soldier. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he wrote to one young man, 2 Timothy 2:3. When anyone joins a wartime army, they expect to go to war. If they want to survive, they take their training seriously and learn all they can about their weapons and how to use them skillfully. In Paul's day, the Roman Empire ruled the known world, and the armor and weapons of the Roman legions were state-of-the-art. For our war of the Spirit, God has equipped us with something vastly better than even the most high-tech modern weaponry, spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of this world, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4 KJV, or, as it is translated in the New International Version, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, the spiritual strongholds that the devil tries to establish in people's hearts and minds. That's why Paul admonished the early Christians to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:13-18. Let's take a closer look at what these verses are saying. When you receive Jesus, you put on the helmet of salvation. This is the one piece of armor that you can never take off or lose. Once you've asked Him into your heart, you are His forever. No matter how much the devil attacks you, he can never win or take you back. Jesus said, "My Father, who has given them those who believe on Him to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." John 10:29. The breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? The righteousness that comes from God, and is by faith. Philippians 3:9 and IV. Even though you have received Jesus, you're still not perfect or righteous, and you still have faults and commit sins. But the difference is that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the shedding of His blood for you brings you forgiveness and cleanses you from all sin. 1 John 1:7. By confessing your faults and shortcomings to Him, accepting His forgiveness, and receiving it by faith, you're putting on His righteousness. So when the devil attacks you by pointing out your faults and failures, you can fight back with the attitude of, "Yes, I'm a sinner, but Jesus forgives me and gives me His righteousness." When you tell others about Jesus and share His love with them, you're preaching the gospel of peace. Surprising as this may seem, this is one of your best protections. God blesses those who spread the good news. As you share God's loving words with others, the words become more firmly planted in your own heart and life. As you strengthen others, your own spirit becomes stronger. What shields you from the devil's deadly lies? Your faith. As you study God's word and apply it to your daily life, your shield of faith will grow into a strong force field all around you that the enemy of your soul cannot penetrate. That's not to say that you'll never have battles, but when you do, you won't completely succumb to them, because you'll have faith in God's promises in the Bible, that He is with you and will pull you through no matter what. Last, but by no means least, is your offensive weapon, God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. It's unstoppable. When Satan engages in battle with your heart and mind, seeking to strike your spirit a mortal blow with discouragement, negativity, confusion, despair under pressure, stressful worry, or any of his other wiles, your only hope is to wage a counterattack. Pull out the sword of the Spirit. Pull out a verse or a promise, and stand on it. That's what Jesus did when the devil tempted him at the beginning of his ministry on earth. He just quoted scripture, "It is written," Matthew 4:1-11. The devil is unable to stand against the power of God's word. He will turn tail and run every time. The secret to solutions, you may find that as you read a verse or passage in the Bible, all of a sudden it just hits you. You may have even read it several times before and it never really clicked, but this time the Holy Spirit whispers in your heart and shows how it applies to your situation, bringing it to life. That's for me. That's the answer. God couldn't have spoken any more emphatically if He'd yelled out the answer or screamed it in your ear. It may have been written for somebody else thousands of years ago, but all of a sudden it hits you personally. That's what is known as the voice of His Word. Read and absorb His Word during peacetime, when things are going fine, and it will be there for you. When you find yourself under attack and beset by problems or worries, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind just the verse or passage you need to dispel the lies of the devil. As you become more familiar with God's recorded Word in the Bible, you will become more aware of the workings of the Holy Spirit and more attuned to the Lord's voice speaking directly to your mind and heart. God speaks to His children of today, just as He always has in the past, and if you ask Him to speak to you, and you get quiet and listen, He will give you specific words of comfort and guidance that are tailored for your individual situation. The Lord will put His thoughts, His words, in your mind. The Bible promises, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left." Isaiah 30:21. This is known as the living word. The next time you feel like you just can't cope with the stress and strain of pressing problems, take some time to read God's Word. In the Word, the recorded Word, and the living Word, you can find the solutions to all of life's problems. The Word will not only give you faith in the Lord and His ability to see you through, but in it you will find practical, workable solutions to everyday problems. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance a specific verse or passage, or Jesus will whisper fresh words into your ear as you commune with Him. The secret is God's Word. It's the secret of power and victory, and overcoming and fruitfulness and fire and life, and everything. D.B.B. I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always, and above all, the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good strong staff. To the one who sits in black gloom, I am the glorious light. To those who stoop beneath heavy burdens, I am sweet trust. To him who has lost his way, I am a safe guide. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am healing balm. To the discouraged, I whisper a glad message of hope. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor, sure and steadfast. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am, as a cool, soft hand resting upon a fevered brow. The devil can't stand the Word. Resist the enemy and he'll flee from you, James 4:7. He'll turn tail and run. Take up that white-hot sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and cut the devil to the heart. D.B.B. God is in control. Not only can you trust that all things that come your way will work out for your good, but you can be assured that things don't just happen to children of God. Each event that comes your way is a part of God's personal and unique plan for your life. And He knows exactly what you need to experience and learn in order to fulfill that plan. Some of the crises and calamities that come our way are of our own making. They are the result of our own carelessness, mistakes, and wrong choices. Some are the result of others' mistakes. And yet others are personal attacks on us by the forces of darkness, the devil, and his minions. But whatever the case, we can have faith that God is in control of our lives and destinies. Nothing can happen to us without His permission. However, God has also given each of us the freedom of choice. Though He helps and guides us all He can, the final decisions of what we do and how we act or react are up to us. God won't force us to make the right decisions nor to follow His plan for our lives. But there is a plan, there is a purpose, and if we trust Him and do those things which we know are pleasing to Him, then we can rest assured that we will remain on the path of His will, and that it will lead to His blessings and the fulfillment of His every promise. God's hand is upon you, His child. He is intricately involved with and concerned about every detail of your life. When you are going through times of difficulty, that can be one of the most comforting things to think on. I asked God for strength, that I might achieve. I was made weak, that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health, that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity, that I might do better things. I asked for riches, that I might be happy. I was given poverty, that I might be wise. I asked for power, that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness, that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things, that I might enjoy life. I was given life, that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Be alive. One. Why do Christians, especially active Christians, sometimes seem to have more than their share of troubles? This little story explains. John and Sam were friends. One day, John asked, "Sam, how come you're a Christian, and yet you have all these troubles and trials and tribulations?" He writes, "I don't even believe in God, and yet I don't have as nearly much trouble as you do." "Well, John, I don't know. I guess I'll have to think a while before I can answer that one," Sam answered. A few days later, the two went duck hunting. John shot into a flock of ducks, and several fell into the shallow water of the pond from where they had just flown. Some of them were dead, but others were just wounded. John knew from experience that sometimes the wounded ducks will get up and fly off again if you don't grab them quickly. So as Sam ran to the spot where the ducks had fallen, John called out, "Bag the live ones. Bag the live ones. Don't worry about the dead ones. You can collect them later." When Sam came back with the ducks, he had a smile on his face. "I think I've got the answer to your question," he said. "You see, I'm a live one. The devil is afraid I'm going to get away, so he tries to bag me first. You're a dead one. He's already got you, so he's not a bit worried about what you're going to do. And that's just the way it is with us. The devil can't get us back once we're saved. We're the Lord's forever. But he sure tries hard to keep us from being active Christians. But don't let his attacks slow you down or hinder you, because if you keep persevering, you'll win the battle and receive the reward that the Lord has waiting for you. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." James 1:12 NIV. When problems persist, some problems are short-term, such as about a flu or a falling out with someone at work. Others may last much longer, a chronic illness, a disability, or an addiction, the loss of someone dear, or an ongoing battle to overcome a personal weakness such as anger or moodiness. You may have to struggle with such difficulties for weeks, months, or even years. Sometimes problems persist even when you feel you've already done all you could. You've been praying, reading, and following His Word, claiming His promises, and trying to trust God. Still you see no answer, which can be discouraging. In cases like that, God may be testing you to see whether you will continue to trust and believe and thank Him for all the good He sends your way, even when it seems He is not answering your prayers. We walk by faith, not by sight. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. 2 Corinthians 5:7, John 20:29. God loves to see His children's faith manifested, and He promises to greatly reward those who bravely endure the trying of their faith. If God is working in your life to bring out a special quality, the process may take some time. Lumps of coal aren't turned to diamonds overnight, so it is with our lives. When you think you've reached the end of your rope, just hold on a little longer. Patience is often the key that opens the door to God's blessings, and sometimes we must be content to wait for His answer. While we may expect God to put an end to our problems right now, He may know that later is a better time. God's timing is impeccable. He has done all things well, Mark 7:37. Trust Him. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith doesn't quit. Faith refuses to call anything impossible. Faith refuses to be robbed of its joy and peace by circumstances or battles. If we refuse to concede defeat, but rather hold on to God no matter what, if we determine to believe His promises, even though we may not see the fulfillment immediately, victory will be ours in the end. Such faith cannot be defeated. He will always come through for us. It is impossible to despair when you remember that your helper is omnipotent.